Hey everybody, welcome to the last day of my takeover of the GOAT podcast. My name is Monica Teske, and I wanted to go ahead and start this podcast out with a little bit more discussion of the Stefon Diggs trade. I didn't get into everything that I wanted to on the Diggs trade yesterday in the podcast. So, supposedly Houston has wiped out the last 3 years of Diggs' contract so he can be a free agent after the season. There's a lot of things going on, like being talked about with this on the internet. And I've seen a lot of people say that they think that this makes the deal horrible for Houston. I don't necessarily think I agree. Diggs is really beginning to get the reputation of a diva. And there seems, just based looking in recent years, there seems to be an overall trend that the NFL teams are shying away from divas unless their production is like way, way, way above average. Just thinking of a couple players that come to mind, Cam Newton, OBJ, Antonio Brown, and if we go back a few more years, you know, Dez Bryant comes to mind as well. And when you have such a young team like Houston does that's trying to contend for a Super Bowl, you got to be really, really careful with team chemistry. And so I do think that Houston is trying to play it safe and see if Diggs' production will be worth the drama that it seems like he will inevitably bring to Houston. Because they want to challenge the Chiefs this year. And I think it would be very intriguing to see if they can. And if Diggs plays up to his standard, they should be able to. I think it would be very interesting to see how that goes. But if he can't, well, that's easy. They just cut him loose and move on. I still think it's ridiculous that they gave up a 2025 second for him. That seems like a lot, especially if you're only getting him for a year. So that part, I agree. Wiping out the last 3 years of his contract makes that part seem horrible. But honestly, I was kind of already of the opinion that it was horrible, so that didn't really change my mind that much. All right, to the main event of the episode, Michael's mock draft rounds 2 and 3. And to kind of let you know what I was planning on doing in this episode, I knew I was not as familiar with a lot of these players in rounds 2 and 3. So I wasn't as familiar with their game. I haven't watched as many play, that kind of stuff. So I wanted to try to bring forth a different perspective because I can't really speak to many of them and their gameplay. So I went ahead and did a lot of digging into analytics. Analytics is such a big part of sports today, and football is just getting bigger and bigger in football. So I really felt like a lot of these teams are aware of these analytics and stats when they're looking and evaluating players. So I did think it was a reasonable and valuable thing to bring to the podcast. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with round 2. And we have the Carolina Panthers selecting linebacker out of North Carolina State, Peyton Wilson. This is one player that I have watched a bit of. And from the eye test, I really like Wilson. And if Carolina picks him, I feel pretty confident in my eye test because they have had a pretty decent track record recently with defensive players, but especially linebackers and, well, really front seven, honestly. So I think that would be an interesting pickup, and hopefully that would work out for the Panthers, because honestly, they don't have a lot going for them right now. All right, next, Michael has Jordan Morgan going 34th overall to the Patriots. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. And he was a player that, when I was looking at analytics, he surprised me quite a bit, actually. Out of all of the offensive line prospects in this class that they expect to go in the draft, he played the second most snaps in true pass sets. Okay, so a true pass set means that the quarterback holds the ball for more than 2 seconds. So we're not doing like a really quick play. Like this is a established passing play. And there are four more defenders rushing, so there's actually someone in front of him to block. And the play was not a screen or a play action. So once again, you don't have that quick moving stuff going on. And just for reference, he has played all of these snaps, a ton of snaps, where the quarterback holds the ball for more than 2 seconds. And just to give you a reference, because this was kind of confusing to me, for reference, the average time that each NFL quarterback took from snap to pass in the NFL last season was 2.7 seconds. So that means as far as the timing is concerned in the NFL, it's not going to change that much for Jordan Morgan. Anyways, Jordan Morgan's, his stats were very similar to Peter Skoronski, who was on the Titans. Now, Skoronski has been a decent pass-blocking lineman, but he has been an absolute beast at run-blocking. I did not do any research on run-blocking, but I do think this should be a decent pickup for the Patriots. All right, next, Michael has the Arizona Cardinals selecting Braden Fisk out of Florida State. Now, once again, coming in hot with analytics. Analytics say Braden Fisk is just as good as NFL great Chris Jones of the Chiefs at stopping the run. But he is significantly worse than Chris Jones at stopping the pass. So, since the NFL is such a pass-heavy league, I feel like this could be a problem for Fisk unless he makes some changes at the next level. So, next, Michael has the Commander selecting Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. I'm not super excited about this tight end class, honestly. Outside of Brock Bowers, I don't feel like there's a ton to get excited about, but I am ready to be proven wrong because with the rule changes, I don't think we've talked about the rule changes in the NFL. So one of the rule changes is that the NFL has outlawed the hip drop tackle because they say it's been causing a lot of injuries. So I think a lot of these, you know, big body tight ends are going to be a lot harder to take down, especially by the smaller defensive backs. And Sanders is 6'4", 243. So I think that he could be a struggle for other teams to bring down. I'm very interested to see how the tight end position changes with this new rule. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Sanders could definitely have a much bigger effect in the NFL than what I'm envisioning now because of this rule change. Next, Michael has Roman Wilson going to the Chargers at 37. And the Chargers need receiver help badly. They have lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And this would have them picking up back-to-back receiving threats Brock Bowers, Roman Wilson. Next at 38, he has the Steelers taking Zach Frazier. And this would have the Steelers putting a lot of effort and investment into their offensive line. If you remember in the first round, he had them selecting Amarius Mims out of Georgia. The Steelers really need some quality offensive linemen. So I do think this is a pretty good strategy. And they are getting the center that they desperately needed, especially after passing on Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. Next, at 39, he has the Panthers selecting Chop Robinson. This is insanity. So up here at the beginning of the round, he has them selecting, the Panthers selecting Peyton Wilson. Then we come down here just a few picks later, like six picks later maybe, and the Panthers select Chop Robinson. The rich get richer on defense, apparently. I guess if the Panthers know they're not going to be able to compete with anybody on offense right now, they might as well make it where you can't score either. However, if the Panthers put a lot of effort into their defense, I'm just going to say it now, the Panthers will be the most boring team to watch in the NFL next season. Next, the Commanders select TJ Tampa at pick 40. The analytics are not good for TJ. So hopefully the Commanders, hopefully he'll be a lot better for the Commanders than his numbers suggest. At 41, the Panthers select Kingsley Suamadia, offensive line from BYU. To be honest, I don't really know a lot about this guy, but I've heard some very mixed reviews. The Packers desperately need to upgrade their offensive line. And if you remember, in the first round of this mock, they missed out on some good offensive linemen because they came at their pick was right after that run on offensive line. So they just need to throw some darts at the board, to tell you the truth. And this is a good way to start. The next two picks are Mike Sanchel to the Texans and Kamari Lassiter to the Falcons. Sanchel probably would not get a ton of playing time right off, which is probably good because he needs a lot of time to learn the NFL. Lassiter, on the other hand, looks, just from watching him play, he looks almost completely NFL ready. And on the analytics side of things, he also looks like he's completely NFL ready, and that would work out very well for him in Atlanta. Next, Michael has two quarterbacks going in Bo Nix to the Raiders and Michael Penix Jr. to the Saints. And Michael, when he sent this draft to me, he said he wanted to frustrate me in this draft. And I will say, Michael Penix Jr. to the Saints, that pick frustrated me. I don't think I could come up with a worse team and player fit for these quarterback prospects than Penix to the Saints. Penix had so much success in college, but he did it being surrounded by some elite-level talent. And he also has an extensive injury history, especially during his time at Indiana. In New Orleans, he wouldn't be surrounded by talent. And he would have some really good defenses, even for NFL standards, coming right after him. I mean, right here, in this mock, let's pretend that this is what happens. He would have Chop Robinson and Peyton Wilson coming after him. That is scary. That is very scary. I don't like this move for the Saints or Penix at all. Michael, you got me. I'm frustrated. I don't like that pick at all. Next, there's two edge players going back to back, Chris Braswell to the Colts and Darius Robinson to the Giants. I think the Colts are probably getting the better overall player, but I just have a feeling about Robinson to the Giants. I think he could do very well in that Giants defense, but I do think Braswell is the better overall player. The next three picks, Ennis Rakeshaw Jr. to the Jaguars, Jermaine Burton to the Bengals, and Javon Buller to the Eagles. Analytics hate Rakeshaw. Absolutely hate him. Jermaine Burton is 100 million percent a prototypical AFC North player. I can see him playing for Baltimore for sure, and I could also see Cincinnati. Javon Bullard, he went to Georgia, so of course the Eagles would pick him. It just makes too much sense. The next few picks are Keon Coleman to the Steelers, Ruke Orihuela to the Rams, Ricky Pearsall to the Eagles, and the first running back off the board goes to the Browns, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Out of this group, I looked at Ricky Pearsall, and his college stats are pretty close to Devin Duvernay. So if that's his pro comparison, that is not a good pickup for the Eagles. The next few picks are all defense. Chris Jenkins to the Dolphins, Adisa Isaac to the Cowboys, Edgerrin Cooper to the Bucks, Devondre Sweat to the Packers. I think I struggle to see the Dolphins going with a defensive lineman and Chris Jenkins here. In free agency, they have invested so much in their defensive line, and I think there's other positions of need they could go at, they could go for here instead. Devondre Sweat, I think he'll probably be serviceable at the next level, but I don't know if I can justify in my mind right now the Packers selecting him here. That feels more like a luxury pick, but they need one. They do need a defensive lineman, but I think Devondre Sweat feels more like a complementary piece than a primary defender. So I don't think I would go with him here. To round out the second round, Michael has Jalen Polk to the Texans, Kieran Amagaji to the Bills, Christian Haynes to the Lions, Shona Ellis to the Ravens, Xavier Leggett to the Niners, and Xavier Worthy to the Raiders. I really, truly don't see the Ravens going with Ellis here. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is still on the board, and Trotter is a prototypical Baltimore Ravens linebacker. Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs would be interesting. They don't really have a whole lot of speed, at least not like they used to. So it'd be very interesting to see how that would go. So the other Xavier Leggett, his pro comparison, just based on his statistics, is Jonathan Mingo. And honestly, that is a terrible comparison. That is downright horrible. And if Xavier Leggett turns into Jonathan Mingo at the next level, that is a terrible pick for the Niners. I think there's a lot better options on the board. Round three begins with the Panthers selecting Jaden Hicks and the Cardinals selecting Junior Colson and Spencer Rattler with their back-to-back picks. Jalen McMillan is next off the board to the Patriots, and then there is a run of running backs. Braylon Allen to the Chargers, Jalen Wright to the Giants, and Blake Corum to the Cardinals. Out of this bunch, I think I like Spencer Rattler the most as a pro prospect. I like what he was able to do in South Carolina with a less than stellar supporting cast. I do think that he needs time to develop and learn the quarterback position at the NFL level before he takes over. And Kyler Murray isn't the GOAT or anything, but I do think that he is experienced and knowledgeable enough that Rattler can take some time behind him and learn the position before Rattler would need to be in a position to start. The next pick is Blake Fisher to the Jets. The Jets have done so much in free agency to upgrade their offensive tackle position. But if a team can just be labeled as super injury prone, the Jets probably deserve that label. And getting some depth on the offensive line is not a bad idea, especially when they're trying to build around a aging quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. The next few picks, Cedric Van Praan to the Lions, Devontaze Walker to the Falcons, Brandon Dorius to the Bears, and Braylon Trice to the Broncos. Man, if Braylon Trice goes to the Broncos, they would have one of the better edge rushers, if not one of the best, in my opinion, and arguably the best young corner in the draft. The Broncos would be getting, they'd be, you know, doing really good on defense. I think that'd be very interesting. Next, Michael has the Raiders selecting Kyree Jackson. So Kyree Jackson is an analytics darling. The numbers, the statistics, they love him. Out of all the cornerback prospects in this draft, all of them, Kyree grades out as the best combined overall in both man and zone coverage. There's only three corners in this draft that were better than him in man coverage. And we've already said all of their names already yesterday and today. Quinyon Mitchell, Kamari Lassiter, and Cooper DeJean. But all three of them were worse in zone coverage. There is not a single cornerback prospect in this draft who is better in zone coverage than Kyree Jackson. Analytics-wise, on his coverage, is just to give you a frame of reference. He's just a tiny bit worse than Patrick Surtain. Once again, one of the best young corners in the game. So I would definitely be keeping my eye on Kyree Jackson. All right, so we're going to start moving quickly through the picks. Theo Johnson to the Commanders. Marshawn Nealand to the Falcons. Man, with a name like Nealand, you would have thought he went to Tennessee so he could play at Nealand Stadium. Ha ha ha. But no, he went to Western Michigan. So boring. Next, AJ Barner to the Bengals. Austin Booker to the Seahawks. I like that name, Austin Booker. Johnny Wilson to the Colts. Max Melton to the Rams. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to the Steelers. I don't think Trotter is a good Steeler, but I will say a long-term duo of Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Patrick Queen would be deadly to NFL offenses. Next off the board, Gabriel Murphy to the Browns, and then the Texans select Malachi Corley, the receiver out of Western Kentucky. The Cowboys select Ray Davis, running back out of Kentucky. So I've got to ask, if this pick were to really happen, would it mean that Bradley Smith has to become a Cowboys fan? Bradley, if you're listening to this, please let me know, because I'm curious. Next, Michael has the Packers selecting Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State. This is one of those FCS prospects that no one's probably ever heard of, but I have actually got to watch some of his clips, and I think this guy is a guy to get excited about. I really like Mason McCormick. Next, the Buccaneers select running back Trey Benson, and then the Cardinals select Christian Mahogany. The Packers pick again, and they select Merritt Liofu. Javon Baker stays in the state of Florida, but goes from Orlando to Tampa Bay. Javon Baker, he had one of the highest contested catch percentages out of all this year's receiver prospects. I believe he was second overall, so he's the second best receiver in this class at contested catches. That's very interesting. Another Kentucky player goes, Andrew Phillips, but this time Kentucky player goes to the Ravens. Patrick Paul is the next guy off the board to the Niners. And before I did this statistics research, I had no idea who this Patrick Paul guy was. Patrick Paul to the Niners. He jumped off the page at me. He is the best pass blocker in this draft. And I think that's very key in a very pass-heavy league. I would be watching Patrick Paul. The last six picks of the mock draft are Eric All to the Chiefs, Michael Pratt to the Jaguars, Bucky Irvin to the Bengals, Cameron Kitchens to the Steelers, Renardo Green to the Rams, and Dominic Pooney to the Commanders. And that is the end of Michael's three-round mock draft, and that, sadly, ends my takeover this week of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed my spin on draft coverage, and I have loved the opportunity to be able to talk about it. Give us some feedback. If you loved it, hated it, somewhere in the middle, doesn't matter. Email us at goatversusgoat@gmail.com. That's GOATVSGOTE@gmail.com. Michael should be back next week to be the main host, and I will talk to you then.